All right, the title of my message today, Beware False Teachings, Part 2. Part 2, I think I called last week, Don't Believe Everything You Hear. This is kind of a continuation of that. So last week we started the series by declaring that a specific warning that we see all throughout the Bible. And this warning is for us as the Church of Jesus Christ, to be on our guard against false teachings. And against those people, the false teachers that promote these untruths. And so last Sunday, we looked at some specific examples where certain TV preachers would either ignore the Bible entirely or misinterpret it badly in order to make a statement about Jesus that is just patently false. And as we continue our series today on false teachings, I thought it would be good to make a distinction. I want to make a distinction about when we say false teachings, what we're talking about, what we're not talking about. So I'll start first and say, hey, this is what we're not talking about are minor differences in theology. So I want to give you an example of that. So an example is maybe some of you would declare yourself to be Calvinist, and others may say, well, I'm Arminian. Some of you may say, well, I believe the rapture will take place pre-tribulation. And some of you may say, no, I think it's the rapture will take place mid-tribulation. And some people say, no, the rapture is going to take place at the end of the tribulation, the pre, mid, post. None of that matters today. And if you're watching online and none of that made any sense to you, that's okay. You're in good shape. Those kinds of minor differences in theology are not what we're talking about when we talk about false teachings. We're talking about things that are blatantly false. And like I said, it's perfectly understandable that there, between honest Christians and what they honestly believe about the Bible, there will be some minor differences. When I say the words false teaching, I'm specifically talking about things that all of Orthodox Christianity would consider to be heresy or blasphemy. And I do want to spend a minute defining what both of those words mean, heresy and blasphemy. So heresy could be defined as an illegitimate belief that clashes with a proper understanding of God's Word. For example, saying that Jesus is not God would be considered heresy. The vast majority of the Christian world would agree that Jesus, being part of the Holy Trinity, is a critical truth that cannot be compromised. In fact, if you remember the test that the Apostle John gave us last week, he said, anyone who acknowledges Jesus as the Son of God coming in the flesh is from God. But whoever does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. And while that test is very simple, unfortunately, some of the untruths that we hear on TV and radio are a little more complex than that. Another example of heresy would be to say that we human beings, we somehow possess the ability to work our way to heaven. The Bible, as you well know, the Bible is very clear that our salvation comes from God's grace, and it's something that cannot be earned. That's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. That's Christianity 101. And I should point out, though, the vast majority of false religions in this world all believe that, though. They all stake their claim to this untruth that somehow you can earn your way to God's favor. It can't be that easy. God's grace, it can't be that easy. Well, let me tell you, their belief that you can earn your way to God is simply not biblical. Another way of saying this falsehood is to say that Jesus is not the only way to God. You'd be amazed at how many so-called Christians actually believe that. You'd be amazed. And of course, for us learning the truth, this is an easy one for us. We know what Jesus said about this matter. John 14:6, Jesus said what? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Man, that's as clear as it gets. But believe me when I tell you that there are many, many people who doubt those words of Jesus. And they're looking for ways to earn their salvation. Salvation is not grace plus works. Salvation is grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's biblical. So that's what we mean when we talk about heresy. Heresy is the willing act of rejection of a key truth, a key tenet of Christianity. Now, blasphemy is different than heresy. Blasphemy is the act of saying something irreverent or disrespectful against our God. or declaring ourselves to be like God. You know, last week we heard the false teacher, Creflo Dollar was his name. Creflo Dollar, who actually spoke the words, he said, the real me is just like God. It doesn't get more blasphemous than that. He also said that Jesus was not perfect. Believe it or not, this is a preacher. He said Jesus was not perfect. He just somehow grew into his perfection as he grew up. Any words spoken or written that attempt to profane God or to try to minimize his glory would be considered blasphemy. And before I give a few more examples of false teachings, I wanted us to look at the warnings and reminders from the book of Jude. The book of Jude. Jude is the next to last book in the Bible. It's right before the book of Revelation. Jude was just one of many writers who were inspired by the Holy Spirit to warn us about false teachers. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to the book of Jude. It's a single chapter, so we don't even have to have chapters, we just say verses. The book of Jude, I'll be reading from the New International Version, beginning in verse 3. Book of Jude, verse 3. Jude says, "Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord." Father, we just pray as we open up your word today, God, that you would show us your truth. God, that we would expose false teachings and false teachers. God, we see these warnings all throughout your good book, Father. Lord, we desire to know your truth. God, we desire to have the discernment that we pray for. God, we just ask that you guide me and guide us today. We pray in Jesus' name. So Jude continues on about how God one day will judge all false teachers with the same kind of wrath that he poured out on Sodom and Gomorrah. Jude said that false teachers speak abusively about things they do not understand. Continuing from the book of Jude, if you scroll down to verse 12, Jude verse 12, he talks about these false teachers. He says, "These people are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame. Wandering stars for whom darkest blackness has been reserved forever." Jude doesn't pull any punches. Not a single false teacher will ever escape God's wrath for manipulating God's name, for exchanging God's truth for a lie, and in some cases, using God's people for their own selfish gain. This week, I want to share a few more examples of people who are abusing the Word of God to feed themselves. I noticed that one of the more popular ways to garner attention to your ministry is to claim that you've been to heaven. Oh, and that you've returned back from heaven to the earth to tell everyone all about your magical experience that you've had. There are a number of people who have sold their story about their heavenly visits. Let me go through a few of them just briefly. Don Piper. Don Piper claimed that he spent 90 minutes in heaven after he was involved in a car wreck in Texas. Don wrote a book called 90 Minutes in Heaven. This book became the basis for a major motion picture back in 2015. In Don's book, he wrote that he never actually saw God during those 90 minutes. Oh, but years later in interviews, Don was sure to tell everyone about how he saw God, about seeing the brightest light he had ever seen. That light was God himself. He knew who that was. Don keeps on changing his story. Jesse Duplantis. is a prosperity gospel preacher who told a large audience a very lengthy story about his personal trip to heaven. He claimed he went to heaven on a cable car. He was greeted by none other than Father Abraham, and he was assigned King David as his personal tour guide in heaven. Jesse said he was taken around by King David to meet the prophet Jonah and other people from the Bible. Jesse told his church audience that he saw disembodied babies flying around heaven. He claimed that after arriving in heaven, that it requires a long, long journey to make it to the throne of God, one that takes years to get there. Didn't know that. Jesus said that if we have loved ones who have died as believers, they've gone on before us. Jesse says, well, they're likely up in heaven just wandering around, just being in awe of the place. Wow, check this place out. And they haven't even come close to seeing God yet, according to Jesse Duplantis. Colton Burpo wrote a book called Heaven is for Real, as he describes his visit to heaven as a small child. Just like Don Piper, Colton's book has also been turned into a major motion picture. Colton said that everyone in heaven has wings and that the angel Gabriel sits at the Father's left hand. He continues on that Jesus owns a multicolored horse and that the Holy Spirit is blue in color. Colton said that he had a chance to speak to Jesus, but somehow he couldn't remember any of the things Jesus had said to him. By the way, none of those descriptions that Colton gave us are recorded in the Bible, but evidently Colton thinks it makes for a good story, these kind of details. And by the way, I've seen Colton Burpo being interviewed by news reporters, and he doesn't interview well. He seems to make up answers to questions. He doesn't seem to have any kind of true recollection when he's being asked. Mary Baxter says that she's visited both heaven and hell, and she came back from both places to tell her story. How is it possible to go to both heaven and hell? Todd Bentley claims that he went to heaven right in the middle of a church service where he was preaching. The problem with these heavenly visitor storytellers is that their stories don't line up with each other. And more importantly, they don't line up with God's Word. Don Piper's story contradicts the story from Colton Burpo. Remember, Colton Burpo said that everyone in heaven has wings. Don Piper said no one in heaven has wings. Somebody's not telling the truth. Jesse Duplantis' story conflicts with Mary Baxter's story. If all these people were truly going to heaven and coming back to earth, wouldn't they have all seen the same things? Wouldn't their stories mesh with each other and with the Bible? I'm going to tell you what's going on. These stories about visiting heaven are a false attempt to add credibility to their own message, which is often a false gospel. Think about this for a moment. Why would God take someone whose theology is in direct conflict with God's Word? Why would God grant those people the ability to go to heaven and return back to earth just to continue that false message? Wouldn't you think that God would rather grant that gift to someone who preaches the gospel biblically? Wouldn't you think so? By the way, neither the book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, nor the book, Heaven is for Real, mention the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nor do either of the movies that were created from those books. No, those movies are high on universalism, many ways to God. It's shameful. Wouldn't it make sense that if you really went to heaven and returned, that you would make sure that everyone knew how to get there? Wouldn't that make sense? But these books have sold millions and millions of copies. And as it turns out, it's quite profitable to go to heaven and to come back and tell everybody about it. It's profitable. Beware false teachers who claim that they've had superior experiences to yours, and therefore you should listen to them rather than God's Word. Beware of those false teachers. You see, a common tactic for false teachers is to try to insulate themselves from criticism by claiming that God spoke directly to them or God brought them to heaven for a special purpose. My friends, God has already revealed much about heaven through His Word. If you want to learn about heaven, all you need to do is open this book. But as we discussed last week, Fewer and fewer people are interested in learning the Bible and learning biblical doctrine. And instead, people are increasingly seeking to have these experiences. It's no longer about truth. It's about having a magical experience for so many people. It's a dangerous place when people are willing to sacrifice God's word on the altar of experience. Some false teachers also deny the sufficiency of Scripture. The sufficiency of Scripture. A writer named Sarah Young wrote a book called Jesus Calling. Jesus Calling. As she describes how she is able to tune in to Jesus, almost like a radio frequency. She just listens hard enough. She turns just, fine-tunes that frequency just to the right spot, and she can hear Jesus audibly. And she says, well, I knew that God communicated to me through the Bible, but I yearn for more. More than God's Word? What Sarah's actually saying is that the Bible just isn't enough. Beware of anyone who tells you that the Bible is not sufficient to live a life that is fulfilling and pleasing to our God. I want to give you a quote from the late preacher Charles Spurgeon, who spoke about the sufficiency of God's Word. I love this quote. Charles Spurgeon said, he says, I have little confidence in those persons who speak of having direct revelations from the Lord, as though He appeared otherwise than by and through the gospel. His Word is so full, so perfect, that for God to make any fresh revelation to you or me is quite needless. To do so would be to put a dishonor upon the perfection of His Word. I can't say it any better than that. Beware false teachers who deny the sufficiency of Scripture. Some false teachers deny the Trinity. They deny the Trinity. I should point out that it must take a great deal of biblical contortionism, if you'll allow me to use that term, contortionism, to bend your mind around all those passages that clearly define God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit as unique persons of the Godhead. However, many false teachers today will state that God is not really three persons. He's just one person. And sometimes God shows up in different forms. This false belief is known as modalism. Modalism. The analogy for modalism is this. Just as water, pull out my bottle and get a drink. Just as water can be heated to become steam, or the same water can be chilled to become ice, it's still the same compound, H2O. There's my Marco Rubio moment. Thank you. They would teach that sometimes God shows up as the Father, and sometimes He shows up as the Son, and sometimes as the Holy Spirit, but not all at the same time. Of course, they would have a real hard time explaining away the events that transpired at the baptism of Jesus. Remember, as Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended upon Him like a dove? And God the Father said from heaven, "This is My Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17. If you believe in modalism, then man, you believe God sure had to change outfits pretty quickly there at Jesus' baptism. What about Paul's writing to the Philippian church? Paul distinctly defines the persons of the Godhead. He says, Philippians 2, verse 5 through 11. Paul says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Here it is. "Therefore God, the Father, therefore God exalted Him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave Him, Jesus, the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Well, God the Father and God the Son sure sound like two distinct persons to me. What about Jesus when He's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane? He prays, "Father, not my will, but Your will be done." Or when Jesus is on the cross saying, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing." Or, my God, why have You forsaken me?" Are we really expected to believe that Jesus is talking to Himself? This concept of modalism, that God is only one person and shows up in different modes, it just doesn't make sense biblically. But hear me out, one of the most prominent teachers of modalism today is T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes can call himself a bishop all day long, but I'm not buying into his belief system. Beware that if you have a false understanding of God, if you have a false understanding of the Trinity, if you have a false understanding, a false view of Jesus Christ, then you have a false gospel. For the record, I should point out that this idea of modalism has been rejected, has been condemned as a heresy throughout all of church history. Yet we see it here in the 21st century, alive and well. Beware false teachers who deny the Trinity. Some false teachers focus all of their energies on the miracles from the Holy Spirit, but they ignore the purpose of the Holy Spirit's work. Here we are, it's all about experience. There are churches that will openly declare that their goal is not for people to repent and be saved through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, to be right with God. No, their purpose is for other people to be filled with the Spirit. And you scratch your head and you think, well, that on the surface, that sounds pretty normal. But what they really mean is they want their people to focus on experience rather than relationship. They would rather feel a certain way than to know the truth of God's Word and to know God. Some churches declare that the supernatural miracles performed by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost are still available to people like you and me today, whether or not there's any real evidence to support that. So what's the work of the Holy Spirit? The work of the Holy Spirit is to what? To exalt Jesus Christ, to glorify His person, His work, His gospel. Just like we said last week, every Holy Spirit-filled believer will honor and glorify the person of Jesus Christ. But you see, the false teachers, they twist it around. They want people to be filled with the Spirit in order to do what? To do signs and wonders, to speak in tongues, to do things, to be something, to have an experience. Once again, for these false teachers, it's all about experience rather than a relationship, which is available, a relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We just read it. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to point people to Jesus, not to provide them with quasi-religious experiences. And as I close here today, we're still in the same book of Jude, as he gives us some encouragement in the face of this battle. I'll be reading Jude, verse 17. Jude says, "But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, 'In the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires.'" He's talking about the false teachers. "These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh." He's telling us to be merciful to those who've got it wrong, who've got their theology wrong. Maybe they honestly believe that what they're saying is true. Jude's saying, have mercy to those. Save others by snatching them from the fire. Show them from the Bible where they're wrong. Show them that they've got a false message, a false gospel. This book of Jude, it may just be a single chapter, but it contains so much information. So much information that's important for us today. And as I pointed out last week, the Church of Jesus Christ today lacks discernment. We won't be able to discern the truth of God's Word from a counterfeit message if we're not reading God's Word. We won't be able to detect a false teaching if we don't know the truth first. God gave us His Holy Word for a reason. God has preserved His Holy Word for thousands and thousands of years for a reason. God has given us His Holy Word in our own language for a reason. And yet many Christians today would rather take their Bibles and put them up on a shelf, collecting dust, And instead, I'm going to plug in my earphones. I'm going to listen to a message from my favorite speaker. Whether the message is biblical or not, I don't really care. I'd rather do that. That's the world we live in today. So I encourage you all, get yourselves into the Word of God. Pray as you read it that God would reveal Himself to you. Pray for understanding. And hear me out. It's okay if you read it and you don't have a complete understanding the first time. It's not that simple. Excuse me. Compare Scripture with Scripture. And I'm going to tell you this too. You may discover that something your grandmother told you decades ago, or maybe something that your pastor from your last church told you, you may discover that those words they told you are simply not true, and you need to let go. It's one of the hardest things to do, to let go of something you've held on to because your granddaddy told you it was true. Compare what he told you to the Bible. If what he told you is not biblical, let it go. Let it go. Compare what you hear with what you read in the Bible. And then when you hear something odd, when something smells fishy, you know what they say? When something smells fishy, that usually indicates the presence of a fish. When something smells fishy, you know, check it out. When you watch Christian television and something just doesn't quite sound right, it's usually because someone's taken Scripture out of context to say something that's just not right. You may not know at first why it's wrong, but when you compare it to the Bible, you'll know for sure. That's the discernment step. That's the discernment step that's so important along the path. It's so important for us to have discernment. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe every message you hear. Don't be swept away by these men who wear these fancy, you know, $5,000 Armani suits, and they've got just the right look, and their hair is just perfect, and they've got the right voice and the right charisma. Don't be swayed by them. Listen to what they have to say. Find out if it's biblical. If it's not biblical, you need to let it go. Let it go. I encourage you as I close today, get into God's Word. Stay in God's Word. Be discerning. Pray that God will show you truth. Let's pray. Father, you are a great and awesome God, Lord. We thank you for this warning from the book of Jude. Father, all throughout your Word, we see warnings from Moses, through the prophets, through Jesus, through all the apostles of the New Testament. You have warned us about false teachers. And Lord, they don't come to us and say, hey, I'm a false teacher. They come to us more subtly. And Father, we ask that you give us discernment. God, we ask that you encourage us to be in your Word. And as we're in your Word, God, we desire to understand truth. Father, we ask that you give us discernment. God, as we read your Word, God, we ask that you take the Holy Spirit, sow those words into our hearts so that when we hear a counterfeit message, God, that we would be able to detect it. Father, we pray for wisdom and discretion and discernment today as we go about our way this week, God, as we hear these messages. Father, that you would give us wisdom to know the truth from the falsehoods. We praise you, God, for all that you're doing in our midst. We thank you for our message today, for our church service today. God, we just want you to be glorified in everything we do. We praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.